Good Sunday morning and welcome to Getting in the Know. And we're into July already. Wow. And the person we've got with us today has spent 25 years plus dedication, loyalty to the Ligoti softball program. And Greg Clark, of course, is who we're talking to. He just announced that he won't be coming back for a 26th season. So I thought, how can we wrap 25 years into 10 or 15 minute conversation? But we're going to try. So I'm going to let him talk a little bit. Greg Clark, Ligoti High School softball coach, retired. And Coach Clark, first of all, congratulations and thank you for everything you've done, the loyalty, the dedication, the success, the fun that it's been in the program. So let's start with that, but I don't want you to start crying already because we got a long way to go and I can get emotional too. So I'm going to let you talk. It's already been a minute. But let's go back to the very beginning. One thing I asked you before we got going was, how did you get this gig? Well, why did you become the softball coach? Take me back 25 years as to when you first went into the program.
Well, back then I was driving the motor coach, and Rich Luker, who was the softball coach, asked me if I would keep the book for him in the dugout. I said, sure. So we were in there during a game. I don't remember the game. I don't remember the situation. But Rich said, well, what would you do? And I told him. And, you know, next day he called and wanted to know if I wanted to be an assistant coach. So I said, well, I'm already driving the bus. I'm already there. Yeah, I'll do that. And, you know, we were fairly successful those 3 years I spent as an assistant coach. I learned a lot from Mr. Luker, and I learned a lot from Joe Lukumski, who eventually was the head coach for a couple of years. In 2004, I took over the reins, and that first year, we were fortunate enough to win the school's first sectional, and then we went to Lanesville, and I always tell people we didn't hit the ball out of the infield. We small balled the whole way. Of course, we had some big sluggers with Jennifer Stanton, Sydney Shear, Laura Walton. But
and you could go on and on there. That was a great team.
Yeah, and you know, Heather Butcher would lead off, get on base, bunt for a single, steal second, steal third, and then somebody hit her in, or we'd squeeze her in, one or the other. But you know, we won that regional. One little story about that, and then during that regional, we were playing at Lanesville, ball hit up the middle, Cassie Linkenfelter scoops it up on the run, fires it home, beautiful throw, beautiful tag, tag the runner out. The Lanesville coach was arguably very upset, never called time, and there was a runner on third, and she was standing off the base. And Sydney Shear was our pitcher, and she had the ball. Well, the look-back rule says you either have to advance or go back. She just stood there. Sydney told the female umpire, looked at her and said, she can't do that. And the umpire said, well, do you have the ball? She goes, right here. She goes, you're right. She's out. Third out of the inning.
Mm. Well, I'd say Sid was a smart player.
Oh, absolutely.
And a great player, but that's a great story, but that helped advance you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And in those days, you know, there was no semi-state. Mm-hmm. I think there were three classes at that time with no semi-state because, you know, the softball was in its infancy still. You know, there have been a lot of programs at bigger schools that had programs for quite a while. But, you know, we went up and we played in the state finals, Final Four, and, you know, we ended up losing to Union Duggar. But it was a thrilling experience for us and the kids, and just kind of built momentum from there a little bit. You know, we did have a down year a couple years after that. There was a class that went through. We didn't have any in that grade, I'll go ahead and say. Kind of like what we have now coming up and as freshmen, very, very few, if any, are going to play. So that was kind of my cue that maybe I need to step out and get some fresh blood in there and let the program rebuild itself.
Well, you just jumped from year zero to the end. There's a lot to...
it's that, like they always say, it's that dash in the middle that has a lot of things in it. You know, we've had some great families and great kids. I've had some fantastic assistant coaches. You know, the first year was John Butcher, Mark Shear, really good softball knowledge. Big help. Mark was a big help with pitching. Of course, Sid was a pitcher. Casey Quick was a pitcher for us. And, you know, you go through the years, you know, it would be difficult for me to name all the players, all the assistant coaches, all the athletic directors that I've had, the principals and the superintendents. You know, it's been a very good administration. You know, sometimes you get frustrated. You can't get everything you need, but, you know, they're not just looking out for softball. They're watching the whole scope of Lagodia Athletics. But, you know, overall, I think we've been very blessed with good administrators and just happy to have that. You know, we went on and won. I've never been a win-loss kind of guy. I always want my kids to grow and to learn and have the ability to become good adults and teach them some different things, not just about softball, but adversity and how to overcome it, what it means to be a teammate, those kind of things. But, you know, we've had some success over the years. I couldn't tell you how many sectional championships we have, regional championships. Of course, you know, we played in the semi-state in 21, in 19 and 21. 19 was really bad with the injury to Isabel Wagner. Covering first base on a bunt, runner ran through her arm, dislocated that elbow. The x-ray was horrible, but, you know, she bounced back and became a really good pitcher for us in 21, took us back to the semi-state. And, you know, we had beaten Clay City earlier that season 6-0, but, you know, we just couldn't put a timely hit together when we needed. We were hitting the ball hard, just seemed it was always right at them. And, you know, something funny, Coach Nante, after that first run in 2004, he goes, "Greg, you know you'll be chasing that the rest of your career." Mm-hmm. And right he was. We were chasing that final appearance, that state run, every year after. And you know, multiple blue chip championships that we'd never done before I started. You know, the running joke down there was Forest Park and South Knox had the absolute control over everything, but we kind of broke that streak up a little bit, and we took several in a row there. So it was a proud accomplishment. And, you know, not this current last season, but the season before, we won the Blue Chip Conference, which was a great achievement for those kids.
You know, obviously those are the ones you just mentioned are some of the great memories. And when you think of instantly, if somebody would ask you, what are some of the highlights? I'm sure what you just talked about were some of those highlights. But you know what people don't realize, a softball coach and many times a baseball coach, as you said and alluded to, not always a top priority on that athletic department's list, right? I mean, but so you have to do a lot of things yourself. And Costello Field would still be the old Costello Field, I believe, if Greg Clark wasn't in this position. What improvements you made, with help, obviously, the dugout, you know, as an example, the press box, thank you very much, a beautiful press box that we have. But those weren't, tell me if I'm wrong, those weren't school initiatives saying, hey, let's do this. Those were things that you wanted to get done, thought it would be an improvement, and got it done. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that's very fair to say. You know, we did have the blessing of the school administration, mm-hmm. but, you know, we raised some funds for the dugout, and...
Which, by the way, isn't just a dugout. Behind that, tell the folks what they're... I mean, it's an apartment.
Well, the dugout in itself, which was named by Gabrielle Ritchie's grandmother.
Okay.
She always called it the dugout. You know, we call it the clubhouse, but she always called it the dugout. So we had to put the dugout up on the on the wall.
Okay.
You know, there were some issues. You know, there was no changing facilities. You know, mm-hmm. kids were trying to were changing just basically out in the open, and I can't have that.
Right.
And so we put together. You know, we got some donations, and you know, some, not a lot, but you know, Dad and I and some softball parents, we went up there and poured concrete, built the walls, put everything together, and now there's a coach's office with two desks, file cabinet with all the score books from the past, all the information that needs to stay with the program is still in there, you know, scoreboard, all the different kind of things that go along with it. But there's the coach's office, there's a large storage area, and then of course there is an actual clubhouse with lockers, open face lockers, and you know, enough there for I believe it's 23 players. So built the lockers and did all that, you know, just for the love of the game and, mm-hmm. and for the love of my kids. They needed someplace to be.
Yeah, it's good to have a handyman in a position like that. That's that worked out pretty well. I remember the press box that we had, as you well know, was I mean, if you're able to fit two people in there, Coach Wagner and I were like, you know, we were like hugging each other and couldn't actually see down the left field line, you know, unless you put your head out there. But we didn't really complain because that was better than everywhere else that we went to for softball. So we do thank you for that. And I know that was something that you wanted to get done.
There were multiple things I wanted to get done. I wanted to be able to get, you know, build new dugouts, which we did.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get, you know, a dressing area for my players, which we did. I wanted to get, you know, new bleachers. And the school actually did those with not a whole lot of prompting, you know. They also, at the time, made it ADA compliant, so which was a good thing. But the only thing I didn't get accomplished, and I don't know that I'm done trying yet, is up to the date LED lighting for not only the softball field, but for the baseball field mm-hmm. as well. We've done lighting analysis, and we do not meet any of the lighting allowances per the IHSAA. So it's something I'm still going to try to do, something I'm still going to push for, and something I'm still going to try to get done. Our kids deserve it.
Yeah, and I don't. Some of you don't go back as far as what Greg did, but Greg was a terrific baseball player too. So obviously, well, okay, you're okay. You're right. A while ago, semi-state team, is that right?
You know, I had the fortune, you know, I was very fortunate to play with some very good players.
It was a very good ball club, yeah.
Yeah. You know, before that, you know, just some names, Ed Canary, Jim Riggins, Jamie Wanniger, mm-hmm. You know, just a lot of great players before that 82 team. My senior year, we, Rick Snare, David Wanniger, Mark Plemons, Paul Ader, Tim Walker, mm-hmm. and the list goes on and on. Jim Weissite, yeah. Ed Harder, just a lot of great athletes. And, you know, it was so much fun playing with those guys, not just because we won, but just because we got along.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there wasn't anything I wouldn't do for any of those guys. And, you know, my one claim to fame is my last at-bat in semi-state, I hit a home run. It didn't help us win the game, but, you know, it felt pretty good as the last at bat, hitting a home run in your final high school game. I just missed one earlier in the game, but That ball came floating in, Greg. Looked like a beach ball. And I was thinking, there's no way I can miss this one.
At Ruxer Field, was it not?
That's at Ruxer Field, yeah.
Wow. So I remember after last season, you hinted, you know, we saw hints that the next year might be your last. But every time I would ask you, I don't know, we'll see. When did you actually decide that you were done coaching softball, at least for now?
Probably after that game. I always asked before, and there was a little time after COVID and a couple, maybe a year after, that I didn't ask the team. So I vote right on a piece of paper. Should I, as head coach, be retained and come back next year? And I had really thought that after the 24th season, I really thought that would be my last. But it was 100% for me to come back. And when I approached Mr. Julian and said that I'd like one more year, and he said, why? And I said, well, for one thing, the juniors and all the players that are on that team asked me to come back or voted for me to come back. And then the other thing is I would like to do 25 years with the program. And he said, I understand, 25 years. Yeah, we can do that.
Even though, one win shy of 300 or something like that. But I know that doesn't mean a lot to you. If there's any coach that I believe when they say that, it's you.
Yeah, you know, there were several games there that, you know, could have pushed us over.
If you really go back and check, you may have well over 300 anyway.
Who knows? I don't know. There were games where if I didn't change something, you know, we may have won. But I got to know if this player is going to be able to execute a bunt when it comes time in the tournament. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got to know if my seniors that don't get to play every day, they deserve to get to play. And it's a chance for them to play. Mm-hmm. You know, the big thing, everybody was always upset about the Washington game a couple of years ago. But those seniors that didn't play every day, all three of them had a chance to win that game. And then later in the year when I played them again, mm-hmm. they all came through. Ask Jocelyn Bruner, Chris and Holland, you know, those folks that didn't get to see playing time every game. Mm-hmm. Ask them what they remember about that. It was a good chance for them to learn about adversity and what they have to do to overcome it. It was a good chance for them to be, hey, I am a good teammate. I am capable of doing things. And that's what I've always looked for. Mm-hmm. I've always done that more than anything else. You know, I'm no Gordon Wood who's going to be able to get all the best players in a Tri-County area to come and play there and win state 6 out of 7 years. Mm-hmm. But I like to think I did build some great kids and some thoughtful kids and some kids who've gone on to do great things.
And I think you did do that. And I want to give you one, however much time you want to take, and maybe you've already done it, but anything else you want to add to this conversation from 25 years in the business? I know I'm asking a lot there, but anything at all that we didn't talk about that you'd like to?
I still love the game. I still enjoy the game. I'm still going to be around watching the game. And I'm not opposed if Coach Wagner, not available sometime, give me a holler. I'd love to come up and help.
Even if he is available, I may ask you to come up and, you know, he can sit out a game or two.
I'm cheap.
Nothing else.
But, parents, it's a great game. It's a great way for your kids to learn about all the different things in life. I'm sure the school system is going to select a great coach to take over. Mm-hmm. And I would highly recommend that you at least allow your daughter to see if she likes the game. I think once they get a feel for it, get an understanding for it, they're going to enjoy it. And that's the biggest part of it. I'm not saying, you know, you have to convert your life and play travel softball all summer long, 27 different tournaments and all those kind of things. It definitely helps because from March to the end of May, and it's just like every other sport, if that's the only time you touch a bat, pick up a ball, you're going to do the bare minimum. And, you know, to be a great athlete, I encourage him to play volleyball. I encourage him to play basketball. I encourage them to do it cross country, you know, whatever they want to do, mm-hmm. because it only going to make us as our athletes better. I'm looking forward to the kids being able to be involved in the new system the school has started with weight training and all those kind of things. I'm excited to see Josh Thompson up here as an athletic director, and I wish Corey Julian the best in his new role as principal. I think, you know, all those folks are going to be doing great things. But, just, you know, give your daughters a chance. Doug Bradley came by the other day and picked up a helmet for someone that, you know, didn't have one. We've been very fortunate over the years where we've had some great benefactors, I'll put it that way, that somehow we always came up with something. If we needed it, we always came up with it somehow. And I know none of them want to be named, but just know how much they're appreciated. You know who you are. And you know how much you're appreciated in allowing us to do all the things we did over the years. When I took the job, this one last thing, Steve Brett told me to run with it like it was mine. And until we can find somebody else to do it. And 22 years later, they're only looking for somebody to do it because I decided it was time for me to retire.
Greg Clark, thank you so much.
Thank you.
25 years in 25 minutes. It's not enough. And Greg Clark retiring from softball. And before he said, I don't know who would care about this. Well, you know who you are, in Greg Clark's words. You care, and we care, and we thank him again for 25 years of loyalty, dedication to the program. And he'll have more of those dedication and loyalty. He'll be in the stands and doing whatever he can. So, again, Greg Clark, we've gotten in to know with him just a little bit. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.